It's On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harris. Renowned novelist Harper Lee died in 2016. But Emory University is bringing a little-known part of her past to life. The author of To Kill a Mockingbird wrote a number of letters to friends between 1956 and 1961. Harper Lee's letters were acquired earlier this year by Emory University. Emory historian Professor Joe Crespino says the letters, quote, provide a window into her life and her views during a period of tumultuous change in Southern political life. Professor Crespino's latest book is titled Atticus Finch, The Biography. Joe, good to see you. Good to have you on the program.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
Let's go for about 12 minutes or so to answer your question.
Okay, great.
How many letters are we talking about, and what do we learn about Harper Lee from these letters?
Well, these are a fascinating set of letters in that they are written right before the period in which Harper Lee is about to write her two novels.
Yes.
She writes Ghost at a Watchman first, and then she writes To Kill a Mockingbird. So several of these letters are from 1956, when she is at home in Monroeville with her father, and with her family, but she's there to take care of her father because her father has had his first serious illness. And so one of the things that's fantastic about the letters is that we get to see this relationship between daughter and father, a relationship that clearly influences in a profound way both of the novels that she would end up writing. But there's some really poignant passages from the novels in which they are she's describing kind of what her father means to her.
Yeah.
And so we see her, it's like for a lot of us, right? When we have our parents and they have their first kind of brush with death, we begin to reflect on their lives in new ways.
Yeah.
And we kind of take stock of what they've meant to us. And that's what we see her doing in these letters in an interesting way.
So I don't want to get too long in the segment before we hear from one of the letters. So
yeah, I can read right here. This is a great example of what I'm talking about. So this is her writing. Daddy is sitting beside me at the kitchen table, fully clothed and eating his 4 o'clock meal. He gets around the house with a walking stick, and Bear will soon drive him out to look at the high water on the golf course. While thinking of something to say to you, I found myself staring at his handsome old face, and a sudden wave of panic flashed through me, which I think was an echo of the fear and desolation that filled me when he was nearly dead. It has been years since I have lived with him on a day-to-day basis, and these months with him have strengthened my attachment to him, if such is possible. If he gets along every day like this, like he has today, it won't be long before I'll be back with you.
Joe, how long have we known about the existence of these letters, and I'm wondering what other memorabilia is part of this collection?
Well, one of the things that's We've known the letters for a little bit. I mean, they were held by a private rare books dealer. And I came across them when I was doing research for my book. And I knew I wanted to look at them because what's great about them is we don't have a lot from Harper Lee during this particular period. In the late 1950s. And so that's what's interesting about them, and that's what's important about them. But one of the things that's great about them, too, is we can put them alongside other sources. For example, when we know that she's home in 1956, now we can go and do research in the local newspaper, and that's one of the things I've done to look at kind of what's going on in Monroeville. And this is a very critical moment in the history of the civil rights movement in the Deep South.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on in Alabama is that kind of the era of massive resistance is really starting up full bore. 1956 is a critical year for Alabama. You've got Arthurine Lucy, is the first African American woman who's coming into the University of Alabama. That's calling all kinds of struggles. There's the boycott in Montgomery that's been going on, that is playing out in the Supreme Courts. So this is causing all kinds of reactionary politics to emerge in Alabama and the Deep South. And this is when politics in the South are really polarizing, and you begin to see the rise of an organization like the Citizens Councils, the White Citizens Councils, right? And this is supposedly the kind of the white-collar clan. These are the responsible folks who are supposed to kind of keep down the hotheads and lead this kind of peaceful resistance to the civil rights movement. But that's not happening. And what's happening in Alabama in 1956 and 57 and 58, when she's writing these novels and then revising them, is it's not the kind of the moderate white citizens councils that's keeping the Klan in check, but really what's happening is the Klan is radicalizing the moderates and the white citizens councils. And so in some ways, I think this process of what's happening on the ground in Alabama is really shaping the context of how she's evolved, how she's revising her two novels.
So I want to get to a soundbite from Harper Lee in a moment. But first, if you're just joining us, we're having a fascinating conversation with Joe Crispino from Emory University. The university acquired the letters from Harper Lee, and they're now available to the public. Let's listen to Harper Lee describing what she loves to do.
You know, so many writers don't like to write. I think that's their chief complaint. They hate to write. They must. They do it under the compulsion that makes any artist what he is. But they really don't enjoy sitting down and trying to turn a thought into a reasonable sentence. But I do. I like to write. And sometimes I'm afraid that I like it too much, because when I get into work, I don't want to leave it. And as a result, I'll go for days and days and days without leaving a house, my house, wherever I am. I'll just go out long enough to get the papers and get some food, and that'll be it. It's strange.
Wow. Joe, how important are these letters, and how great is it to be able to make them available to the public?
Well, it's wonderful, because Harper Lee is such a beloved figure, and the novel To Kill a Mockingbird is really one of kind of America's shared stories. So many people read that, and they're assigned it because it's a book that we want to teach kids about kind of racial morality, and it's how kids learn. But now we have a way of kind of knowing more about the context in which she's writing that novel, right? And that's important. So we can kind of enrich our understanding of her literature and its importance, and think in more complicated ways about its relevance for us today.
That is author and historian Joe Crispino from Emory University. The university acquired letters from author Harper Lee. They are now available to the public in the Rose Library at Emory. And Joe has just finished his book, Atticus Finch, the biography. And you can hear him talk more about it on Two-Way Street with Bill Nigut. That is next month. Joe, a pleasure.
Thanks so much
for having
me. Appreciate it.
That was fun. Thank you.
Yep.